Chapter 20. The African Army of Revolution's camp was not really a camp at all. Rather, it was a headquarters in what was once a small university for the Portuguese when they ruled Mozambique. A new university for the nation's black citizens had since risen from the heart of a new city torn from the northern interior on Lake Malawi. The converted campus made an ideal base for Lusana's army. Dormitories for the troops, cafeterias turned mess halls, sporting facilities now utilized for combat instruction, comfortable quarters for the officers, a newly decorated ballroom for social events. Democratic Congressman Frederick Daggett, one of New Jersey's three black congressmen, was impressed. He'd half expected a typical revolutionary movement run by tribesmen armed with Soviet rockets, dressed in drab Chinese uniforms, and spouting inane, overused Marxist clichés. Instead, he was pleased to discover an organization run on the lines of an American oil corporation. Lusana and his officers came off more like business executives than guerrillas. Everything at the cocktail party went strictly according to New York protocol. Even the hostess, Felicia Collins, would have done a midtown Manhattan party proud. Daggett caught her eye, and she excused herself from an admiring group of Somalian legislators. She came over and laid her hand on his arm.
"Enjoying yourself, Congressman?"
"Very much.
Hiram and I had hoped you could stay over until the weekend."
"Regrettably, I must be in Nairobi for a meeting with the Kenya Educational Council tomorrow afternoon."
"I hope your quarters are satisfactory. We're a little off the beaten track for a Hilton Hotel franchise."
"I must admit, Mr. Lusana's hospitality is far more than I bargained for." Daggett looked down at her. Tonight was the first time he had actually seen Felicia Collins up close. Celebrity, singer with 3 gold records, actress with 2 Emmys and an Oscar for a difficult role as a black suffragette in the motion picture Road of Poppies. She was every bit as ravishing as she appeared on screen. Felicia stood cool and poised in green crepe de chine evening pajamas. The small strapless top tied at the waist and the matching pants gave a diaphanous hint of her shapely legs. She wore her hair in a chic, short African cut.
"Hiram is on the threshold of greatness, you know."
He smiled at her high-toned statement. "I imagine the same might have been said once of Attila the Hun."
"I can easily see why Washington correspondents crowd your press conferences, Congressman."
Her hand remained on his arm.
"Your tongue stabs."
"I believe they refer to it as Daggett Shaft."
"The better to screw the white establishment with, perhaps?"
He took her hand and exerted an increasing pressure until there was a tiny widening of her huge mahogany eyes. "Tell me, Ms. Collins, what brings a beautiful and renowned black entertainer to the jungle?"
"The same thing that brings the black enfant terrible of the United States Congress," she countered. "To help a man who is fighting to advance our race."
"I'm more inclined to believe Hiram Lusana is fighting to advance his private bank account." Felicia smiled derisively.
"You disappoint me, Congressman. If you'd bothered to do your homework, you'd know that is simply not true."
Daggett stiffened. The gauntlet had been thrown. He released her hand and moved until his face was only a few inches from hers. "With half the world watching the African nations, waiting and wondering when they are going to get their circus act together and remove the last bastion of white supremacy, who should appear like a messiah from the wilderness, offering a proverb for every occasion, but none other than your friendly international drug smuggler, Hiram Lusana? Like a revelation in the night, he unloads his thriving operation and takes up the cause of the poor, foul-smelling black rabble of South Africa. Reinforced now by gullible black opinion and touted by a world press hungry for a personality, any personality, handsome Hiram suddenly finds his smiling face on the covers of no fewer than 14 magazines with a combined circulation of over 60 million. Thus the sun shines down from heaven, and Hiram Lusana is adored by Bible beaters everywhere for his devout piety. Foreign state departments vie for his presence at parties. He demands and receives fabulous fees on the lecture circuit. And suckers like you, Ms. Collins, from the entertainment world, kiss his ass and scratch for a percentage of the box office limelight.
Anger flared in Felicia's lovely features.
You're being deliberately offensive.
Nakedly honest, perhaps. Daggett paused and enjoyed Felicia's uneasiness for a moment. And what do you think will happen if Lusana should win his war and the white racist government in South Africa surrenders? Will he, like Cincinnatus, renounce his generalship and return to the plow? Not likely. There is little doubt in my mind that he'll proclaim himself president and launch a virtual dictatorship. Then, with the enormous resources of Africa's most advanced country in his pocket, he'll shift the Grand Crusade into reverse and either by force or by subterfuge gobble up the weaker black nations.
You're blind, she said harshly. Hiram guides his life by high morals. I find it unthinkable that he would ever consider selling out his ideals for personal gain.
Felicia did not see the caution in Daggett's eyes. I can prove it, Miss Collins, and all it will cost you, financially that is, if you lose, is one Yankee dollar.
You're fishing in a barren lake, Congressman. You obviously do not know the general.
Bet me. She thought a moment and then looked up.
You're on.
Daggett bowed gallantly and escorted her to where Lusana was talking tactics with an officer of the Mozambique Army. Lusana broke off his conversation at their approach and greeted them.
Ah, my two fellow Americans, I see you've met. May I talk with you and Miss Collins alone for a moment, General? Asked Daggett.
Why, yes, of course. Lusana excused himself from the Army officer and led the way into a small study comfortably furnished in an Afro-modern motif.
Very nice, said Daggett.
My favorite style of decor. Lusana motioned them to sit down.
And why not? Is it not based on our ancestral native designs?
Personally, I prefer the new Egyptian creations, said an indifferent Daggett.
What is it you wish to discuss? Asked Lusana.
Daggett came straight to the point. If I may be frank, General, the only reason you put on this dog and pony show tonight was in the hope of conning me into exerting my influence with the House Foreign Affairs Committee on behalf of the AAR, agreed? Lusana could not conceal a cornered look, but he remembered to be courteous.
My apologies, Congressman. I did not mean to be so obvious. Yes, I did hope to persuade you to lend your support to our cause. But a con job? No way. I am not fool enough to attempt to stuff cotton in the ears of a man with your reputation for shrewdness.
So much for preliminaries. What's in it for me?
Lusana stared at Daggett with fascination. Such directness was hardly what he'd expected. His plans called for a more circuitous seduction. Now he was caught off guard. An out-and-out request for graft left him stunned. He decided to play coy in order to gain time to think.
I miss your point, Congressman.
No big deal, really. If you want me on your team, it's going to cost you.
I still don't understand.
Cut the jive, General. You and I came from the same gutter. We haven't shoved aside poverty and discrimination to get where we are without picking up any smarts along the way.
Lusana turned away and slowly, meticulously lit a cigarette.
Do you wish me to open the negotiations with an offer for your services?
That won't be necessary. I already have a figure in mind.
Please name it.
A smile lifted the corners of Daggett's lips.
Ms. Collins.
Lusana looked up, puzzled.
And a very comely figure at that, but I fail to see what she...
You give me Felicia Collins, and I'll see to it my committee votes favorably on funding an arms program for your revolution.
Felicia leapt to her feet, her mahogany eyes ablaze.
I don't believe this.
Consider it as a small sacrifice on behalf of a noble crusade, said Daggett sarcastically.
Hiram, for God's sake, she snapped, tell this turkey to pack up and chip out.
Lusana did not reply immediately. He gazed down at his lap and brushed off an imaginary piece of lint from a razor-creased pant leg. Finally, he spoke in a soft voice.
I'm sorry, Felicia, but I can't allow sentimental feelings to enter into this.
What crap?
She stared at him, her expression void of belief.
You're both mad, raving mad, if you think you can pass me around like a bowl of grits. Lusana rose and came over and brushed his lips across her forehead.
Do not hate me.
He faced Daggett.
Congressman, enjoy your spoils.
Then he walked from the room. For a long moment, Felicia stood there, her face a study in mixed hostility and confusion. Then understanding came and her eyes filled with tears. She made no protest, no gesture of resistance, as Daggett gently pulled her close and kissed her.
You bastard, she whispered. You rotten bastard. I hope you're satisfied.
Not quite yet.
You've won your pound of flesh. What more do you want?
He pulled a handkerchief from his breast pocket and dabbed her misting eyes.
You forget, he said, grinning sardonically. You still owe me a dollar.